Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. It is a snowy Saturday morning here, and on the line we have, calling in from Denver, Colorado, KG Carmichael. She's talking about her brand new book, Blake, the Floppy-Eared Husky. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And actually, it's Breck, as in B-R-E-C-K.
Breck, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So tell us a little bit about you, what you are, and what you're all about.
Sure. I am the author of Breck, the Floppy-Eared Husky, and it is a children's book, and it's targeted towards middle grade children and also can be read to children younger than middle grade. Breck is a husky of mine, and he gave me the inspiration to write a book about his floppy ears. As you know, huskies do not typically have floppy ears. They have ears that perk, and right. That was my inspiration to start the book series.
So tell us a little bit about Breck. Where did he come from? Is the story about his upbringing? Is it about the adventures of Breck? What's going on with Breck?
Sure. I got Breck about 3 years ago, this New Year's, and he was about 7 weeks old when I got him, and he is a Colorado dog, and just by chance, we happened to find out that there was a couple being deported. They were in the military, and they had a couple of huskies that they had to get rid of quickly. And Breck was the only male, and when we picked him up, I said, yeah, this is the dog. And he had these extremely floppy ears. And it inspired me to write this book because I was relating his scenario of having floppy ears and they weren't perking to children, and how being different sometimes can be challenging, yet it also provides a journey for children trying to understand their differences. And watching Breck interact with children and the public, I felt very passionate to link these two things together. So I've been working on it for a couple of years, and we just launched it. And so he's about a 90-pound Siberian and Alaskan husky, and he interacts with children and the public very well. And the first thing people typically notice are his ears, and that's the one thing that they usually go for to touch him. So it's definitely become a characteristic.
So is this your first husky? Have you had other dogs growing up? Tell us about how he is in the house. What are his adventures in real life, I guess?
Sure. He is my first dog that I had as my own. You know, when I was younger, I had a lab, but I don't remember ever having so much responsibility as an adult when you buy a puppy or get a puppy through adoption. It's completely different. So it was very challenging. He is a husky. He's playful. He's fun. He's a menace when he was younger. He's much better now. They're a very intelligent breed, as you may know, and they're outdoor dogs. I am a runner, so every morning I get up and I run my dogs about an hour to an hour and a half, and so I can get 5 hours of peaceful time. And he's very adventurous, and he loves the snow, which we spend a lot of time up in the mountains, and he is the happiest when he's in the snow.
Of course. Do you know any of his history? Does he come from sled dog lines, or did you just get him from the military couple, and they didn't know much about him as well?
You know, they actually did. I reached back to her because she was very concerned on how all the dogs were doing. They're not breeders by any means, but she did send me pictures of his grandparents. I don't believe they're sled dogs, but his father is what they call an Alaskan husky, not Alaskan Malamute, and his mother is actually full-blood Siberian.
Right. You know, we have 36 Alaskan Huskies down in our yard right now. Well, let me take that back. We have 31 Alaskans and then 5 Siberians on our sled dog team. So I know exactly what you're describing with Breck's attitude and his insatiable need to get out and run. That's kind of wired into them, isn't it?
Yes, it most definitely is. I don't think people understand, unless you truly own a Husky, how addictive the breed can be, any northern dog, actually. And it's a breath of fresh air, and they're full of life and characteristics, and they're very similar to human characteristics. Well, that's my personal opinion. And they almost become your children.
Right, they do. We've pretty much adopted every one of them into our home, and each one of them have that very unique personality. They capture our hearts, and of course capture our attention as much as possible. KG, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Is this your first endeavor as an author? Is this what you do as a profession? What's going on with you?
I have always been in the technical field as predominantly as my career. But a passion for writing has always been lingering, and I've written several novels that have been unpublished, mostly nonfiction. So this is my first adventure into a children's book, and it just happened. And once I started writing, it just started flowing, and my novel writing has dropped to the side, and I've decided to self-publish the book. So it's been a couple of years I've been working on this endeavor. And we just launched the new version with illustrations probably in the last couple of weeks.
You know, we just finished our first children's book just a couple of months ago, and the process that it takes is almost as rewarding as the finished product, at least in our opinion. Can you tell us a little bit about that, maybe some behind-the-scenes stuff? It takes a tremendous amount of effort from that first time you put that paper to the pen or pen to the paper or that first click of the keyboard to get to that finished product. Tell us about that. You said it was a 2-year process. What takes so long to get that that book published?
I believe it was Tom Clancy that had quoted, "The most difficult part of writing is actually putting the words on paper." So,
right.
And I can appreciate that. In the technical age, it's been good for me because I don't know if you've heard of fastpencil.com. It's something free that you can get online, and it actually categorizes your chapters so you get a visual of your book unfolding as you're writing. So what really took the longest was capturing Breck's personality, which means I had to let him grow some. And as I watched him grow and interact with children in his first year, I got a really good understanding of his personality and his quirks and what made these children's eyes light up when they would see him. I didn't recognize how much beauty a husky holds until I started seeing people interact and how attracted they are to them. So that was a little bit of a waiting period. Sitting down and writing, to answer your question, took some time because I think authors like to make things perfect. And my biggest hurdle was allowing myself to just throw it all up on there and sit back and then go through it a second time and pick out the imperfections. And it doesn't always have to be perfect. And then the story just started to flow, and it made sense. And the challenges were getting agents, and I solicited agents for about a year. Nobody wanted to take on the book, and the agent publishing industry, I understand, is very different. So I was advised to publish myself. And since that inception, I have almost 4,000 fans on his Facebook page.
Wow.
I have met incredible people. Yes, I'm very happy I decided to do this. And I'm getting more of a response and interacting by self-publishing than going through an agency. And I just received word that Lily Wycliffe out of Denver. She is a 13-year-old prodigy child who is an amazing artist, and she is going to be doing our future illustrations. And I'm very happy about that because I'll start getting a perception from a child's view within the drawings and suggestions from her. So I'm very excited, and I feel like it's all coming together for his additional books coming out in his series.
That is very cool. You know, when you were talking about the illustrations, our biggest hurdle was making sure that, you know, in a children's book, the illustrations are just as important as the words on the page. Getting those just right to capture that personality was what took us the most time. Did you find that as well, just trying to capture that moment of what Breck is doing in the story to make it visual versus what's on there as text?
I found it somewhat challenging. I draw, and I'm an artist myself, so when I would sketch a couple things out, I had a problem completing that, bringing something out of your mind onto paper. So I did go out and I sought out, I believe it was John Rose, who helped me with my first round of illustrations, and he came in and just talked me through it. And it was amazing how you can correspond with someone else of what you're visually imagining, and somebody else can take that and put it on paper for you. So I went back and forth for a couple of months, and we got the perfect image, and I was very pleased with that. So it was a little bit of a hurdle. Sketching looks great, but having to perfect it, sometimes you have to use some additional resources to get those ideas on paper.
You know, you mentioned that you self-published, and that's the way to go for a lot of authors today. It gives you much more control over what happens with your book, where it can be sold, who it can be sold to, and all of that. I found that rewarding in and of itself. Did you find that that whole process was pretty seamless today? It isn't the task that it was even just a few years ago.
I think it is rewarding because you have control of distribution and where it goes, and you can see immediately where the channels are selling the most, and I think that's important from a business perspective. What I would say is you don't have that much control technically, and that's been my challenge, is if you need to make a change with an agent or a publisher, it can be changed immediately. You're going through Amazon or a different channel, unfortunately you have this waiting period, 24 sometimes to 48 hours, for a minor change, so it can put some things on hold, and you can't have a personal relationship of things that you want to change immediately. So that's been my challenge with self-publishing, but it has been rewarding on being able to control where I want it to be sold and how it's going to be sold and marketed. That I have enjoyed so far.
So you had mentioned in your bio that a portion of the proceeds go to help stop animal abuse. Is that correct?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that. Why that type of relationship? Why are you attracted to something like that? Besides the obvious, why are you going to donate money to that versus some other cause, I guess?
Absolutely. I feel that Husky rescue abuse is very important. I think all prevention of animal abuse is important. Huskies. So I decided when I wrote this, I wanted whatever proceeds we could donate to a Husky facility to prevent these dogs being put down, which just breaks my heart to hear that. I wanted to support that endeavor. So what I've decided is we took a step back and said, okay, well, we need to ensure that we can allocate enough funds for a donation. So we're going to do it on a quarterly or bi-yearly basis, and we'll just make a decision of what rescue to donate the funds to, because there are so many rescues out there, especially being in the Facebook community. I mean, there's a plethora of different organizations we can donate our funds to. So we'll be making that choice at the end of the quarter or bi-yearly.
We're talking to KG Carmichael this morning, talking about her book, Breck, the Floppy-Eared Husky, breckthehusky.com. That's the website, correct?
That is correct.
So in the book, Breck is going through life having some adventures. Tell us about some of the things that he is doing in the book.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's going to be starting out, he's born in a pack of huskies, and he's on a farm, which is Earl's Husky Ranch. And the adventure starts when his entire family is stolen by thieves, and the other packs are stolen as well, and he's tossed out because the thieves do not think he's a real sled dog, and they don't feel like that they could sell him. So there's some irony here that he's left behind because of his ears, but it's really the only salvation of his family being saved because he's the only one that could witness where they went and what happened. So he decides to go on this journey and find his pack, but he doesn't have any self-confidence. And on the way, he meets Merlin, the magic cat, and Merlin joins in and introduces him to his old friend Skeet, which is an old Labrador who was very cynical, who used to actually run in the Iditarod and was the only lab known to run in the Iditarod. So that's where I think you'll probably hear me smiling because it's just such a great turn in the story where they seek out to teach Breck how to be a sled dog. And so there's a lot of adult humor as adults will be reading this to children that they'll catch with Breck learning how to be a sled dog. We've got some nicknames that come into place. They become friends, and they go on to rescue Breck's family, and I don't want to ruin the end. But
of course.
So he learns a lot about self-confidence, and he understands a little bit more about friendships and what it's going to take to achieve his goal, and he starts to look past his ears, and that's getting towards the end of the story.
Very cool. What a good story. I see a movie in the making there.
I could only hope.
Very cool. So you had mentioned, of course, just by your description of your story, about the ways that it could teach children self-confidence and being part of a team and leadership exercises and all sorts of things that that could come from just a short children's story like this. Is that your goal, of course?
It is my goal. I think children are drawn to dogs, and especially huskies. I cannot tell you how many kids just come up and their parents say, my kid has always wanted a husky. And I thought, well, this could be a great opportunity for learning about self-confidence and being different. And I think in today's world, I'm very grateful that I didn't grow up in the technical age because I just see so much pressure on children with Facebook and the media. And I think there is a sense of insecurity with kids because so much of the media is forced upon them. And following other people can be very easy to do and lose sight of your original characteristics and being okay with that and understanding that's what makes everybody who they are.
That's such a good point, and I tell my kids that all the time, that they have to be themselves. They have to, you know, just be able to stand on their 2 feet and get through the day without necessarily the acceptance of everybody that's around them. They don't need all of that social interaction that they're getting from Facebook and text, et cetera. You had mentioned at the top that it was written for a particular class of kids. What grade, age group is that?
Sure. When I say middle grade, I say 8 to 13. However, reading this to younger children, they understand the concept of the book. There's a lot of laughter from 3 to 5-year-olds when they see some of the illustrations, or such as when Merlin is on the sled and he's on the back of Breck and he's pulling Breck's ears because they're so floppy. They have lost control of the sled. Skeet's on the back. He's scared to death. And so reading this to a child 3 to 5, they actually can realize that this is a funny thing. And when you hear that laughter, you know, they're visualizing and looking at the pictures of what's going on, that this isn't normal. But the cat is actually steering the sled with Breck's ears, and there's a lot of humor there.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. Can you purchase the book on the website breckthehusky.com? Is it available on Amazon and other places? Where can we get the book?
Yes, you can go to breckthehusky.com, and you can order right off the book page. And we have that linked into the bookpatch.com. That's one channel that we use. And we also have it on Amazon, so you can also buy it via Kindle or buy a hard copy off of Amazon as well. It's your choice.
So you had mentioned that it's on the Kindle. How does the book transfer from the hard copy to the electronic copy? Do you get the same feel of it? You know, some people still like to hold that book in their hands, and of course everybody else is walking around with tablets today and reading all of their books on electronic form. Is it a smooth transition from one to the other?
I think it depends on what the liking of the child is or what the parent wants. To me, I like to feel good sitting down and turning the pages. It's easy to get it on Kindle. I don't think Kindle has a personal feel to it. I just feel like I'm still reading on the computer. So my preference is I love sitting by the fire and reading, or reading to children or friends, and being able to turn those pages and having something to touch. That's my preference, but that's just me.
Very cool. You had mentioned that in your upcoming books, a young lady is going to do the illustrations, right?
Yes. Her name is Lily Wycliffe, and she's out of Denver, Colorado. She's a 13-year-old, I call, prodigy child. She is an amazing artist, so I'm very pleased about having her participating in my future books.
That is awesome. And, of course, it's going to be about Breck's continued adventures, going down the path and the journey that he's learning as a floppy-eared sled dog. Is that the goal there?
Absolutely. I don't know if you remember Berenstain Bears when you were a kid.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it'll be similar to a series of adventures. So Breck the Floppy-Eared Husky, this is the first kickoff book. Subsequent to this will be different book series of adventures with his favorite sister, Reka, who's also in the first book. They have an adventure to Iceland coming up. We're doing Breck and the Beanstalk. So there'll be various versions of Breck the Floppy-Eared Husky that will be an ongoing series.
When do you anticipate the future books to come out? Is it going to be like the first one a year or two, or do you anticipate quicker publishing?
Oh, much faster publishing. Once you get the hang of it,
I
think it goes much faster, yes. I think learning how the publishing world works is part of that time robber you and I had just spoke about previously. But we have Breck and Reka, The Adventures of Breck and Reka, I'm sorry. We wanted to have that released by the end of November, but we had it on hold for some illustration stuff that we wanted to confirm. So I'm hoping to have it out in the spring, and then hoping to release one every couple of months, probably one every quarter after that.
That is so cool. I'm looking forward to seeing those. Do you think that the book is becoming a lost art form, or is it still hard and steady out there?
I think it was lost for a while, but I think it's also coming back. I think the technology age has probably worn on a lot of people, and holding a tablet reading a book reminds a lot of us of traveling and being on a plane and having to go to meetings. So I think that the tangible book will always be in the forefront of everyone's mind. I honestly believe that.
Right. So how is it being perceived by, you had mentioned that all of the kids love it. How is it being perceived by the adults, the parents of the kids?
So far, my feedback has been overwhelming and humorous. They see the adult humor in it, and they like the story. And that's just the feedback I've gotten so far, and I'm hoping to get more feedback as the publication continues. I haven't been asked for any changes. They did say they found it very humorous and a lot of laughter, and that's all the feedback I think I could possibly ask for.
Very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to taking a look at it myself, BreckTheHusky.com. KG, we have just a couple of minutes. Anything else you'd like to mention on the show?
Not at this time, other than, you know, stay tuned for his next release and visit his Facebook page. We're always open to people requesting readings. We're very good about going out and reading to groups or to organizations or schools. And having Breck along, he is a service dog, so he's allowed to go into various places and interact with kids and adults. And when you read the story and you have Breck there, it is an amazing impact on a child.
It is. You know, that's a good component to offer, is to be able to bring Breck along to the readings or the presentations. I think that's a good, obviously a good visual to have with the book, and kids just go crazy when a dog is there as well, don't they?
They love these dogs.
I know.
Because I have Reka. Reka is also a real dog, his sister in the story. She's a red-haired, blue-eyed husky, which is somewhat
awesome.
Rare, and there is the synergy when you have them in the room, and it becomes real for kids. And I don't want children to forget their imagination with media coming down into their life so much, and texting and internet, and, you know, be creative and understand that there's the outdoor essence and, you know, animal life and plants and forest and mountains. And, you know, kids need to keep remembering that. They have to remember that that's part of the creative process, and to light that passion within them.
That is such a good message to promote, and I can't say enough about that. That is such a good way to bring up our kids today. They need to get out more, get out of the basement and away from the Xbox. Get out and do stuff and play outside. That's what we did when we were kids. We spent as little time as possible inside. So I think kids need to do that more today. One last thing, you had mentioned a Facebook page. Is it under Breck the Floppy-Eared Husky, or how can people find it on Facebook?
Sure. If you just type in Breck the Husky, it comes up. His
okay.
page on Facebook is facebook.com/BreckHusky.
Breck Husky. Okay. I'll make sure I put a link on your show page once we get done with the show. And, of course, you can post your interview on your show page as well. KG Carmichael is our guest today. Breck the Floppy-Eared Husky is the name of the book, BreckTheHusky.com, and we'll make sure that we get the websites out there for you so people can find out more about your book. And you said that part two of the adventure is going to be released in the spring, correct?
That is correct.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. We will definitely pass along any feedback that we get, comments, questions, or concerns, and we'll keep in touch, okay?
Okay, stay warm. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks.